From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, July 9th. Today on the podcast, breaking down which Vermont businesses received money from the federal Paycheck Protection Program and how much they got. First, today's headlines.
The health department reported two new cases of COVID-19 on Wednesday. One of them is in Chittenden County and another is in Windham County. Two people are currently hospitalized with the disease, and to date, more than 1,000 people have recovered and 56 people have died.
Vermont State Police are investigating an incident in which Rutland City police officers shot and wounded a man on Wednesday morning. Here are the details we know as of this recording. State police say members of the Rutland City Police Department were conducting a narcotics investigation involving a vehicle with two adults inside. Police fired at the vehicle and a half-mile pursuit ensued until the vehicle crashed into a tree. The driver of the vehicle was shot and wounded by police and was transported to Rutland Regional Medical Center. The passenger was injured by the crash and was also transported to the Rutland Hospital. He was later transferred to the University of Vermont Medical Center.
So, Anna, just a couple weeks after the COVID-19 pandemic shut down many businesses around the country, Congress approved this $349 billion program called the Paycheck Protection Program, and it was aimed at helping companies rehire workers who they'd laid off. And if companies brought back most of their workforce within a certain time period, those loans would be forgiven.
And so businesses can keep the money?
Yeah, right. If they hire everyone back, the loans turn into grants. And so we're a couple months into this program, and just this week, the federal government put out a database of all the recipients of these loans. And so here in Vermont, about 12,000 companies got a total of $1.2 billion. And our colleague John Dillon reported on this program early on, and he's been looking through the latest data, and I talked to him about it. So give us the big picture. What kinds of companies did this help in Vermont, and how essential was it to them getting back on their feet?
All kinds of companies benefited. Nonprofit, for-profit, law firms, car dealerships. Some are very well known. This list that was released is really it's a who's who of Vermont businesses. There's Trapp Family Lodge, Darn Tough Socks, Smuggler's Notch Ski Area. Even Governor Phil Scott's former company, DuBois Construction, got assistance under PPP. And also, full disclosure, Vermont Public Radio got $960,000 in a forgivable loan, and other Vermont media organizations got help as well. If listeners want to dig into this, 7 Days created a searchable database, and that's really cool. It's a great service, and that's available on their website, which we can link to as well.
Yeah. And this database was not released immediately, right? Tell us about how this information came out.
Right. So you may remember stories early on about this. Some very well-capitalized companies got help under this program. The Washington Post and some other media organizations wanted to know more about that, who benefited, whether members of Congress and their family companies did, which indeed they did. And so they sued for the name of every company, and the Small Business Administration released the names on Monday.
Okay, so break it down a little bit more for us. On average, how much were these loans, which, again, can be forgiven?
The bulk of them are not large. About two-thirds in Vermont were for, and around the country, actually, were for less than $50,000. Only 13% of the loans to Vermont companies were for more than $150,000. And according to the 7 Days database, just 7 companies got between $5 million and $10 million in Vermont. And actually, some of them are not for-profit companies. The list includes Bennington College and Copley Hospital. Others on that list of high-dollar recipients are GW Plastics and PC Construction. Also, some companies applied for and were in line to get quite a bit of money, but then they pulled back or reduced their request when the SBA issued sort of new, tighter guidelines. Among those were Green Mountain Power and Vermont Gas, both owned by a big Canadian holding company, and they asked for a total of $12.5 million. GMP wanted the maximum $10 million. But they and Vermont Gas pulled back their request after SBA tightened the guidelines.
Okay. Did companies have to show anything to prove that they could repay this money when they asked for it, or that they, you know, really needed the money in the first place?
No, not really. Yeah. It was pretty wide open, at least with that first round of $349 billion, until the guidelines were tightened a bit. around the country, you saw some big institutions with a lot of money, you know, private prep schools. They got federal help. In Vermont, Burn Burton in Manchester, that's a prep school, got between $2 and $5 million, for example. And according to their tax forms they file with the IRS, they had some $41 million in investments at the end of 2018.
Yeah.
I talked to Chris Delia. He's head of the Vermont Bankers Association about this, and he really assisted the lending institutions as they were gearing up for this program. And he said the program was stood up really quickly with companies basically self-certifying all the information.
That is one of the most unusual aspects of this program. You know, traditional lending, you're looking at underwriting criteria, ability to repay, financial stability, all of those good things that you would underwrite a loan with. In this case, you were accepting an application from a borrower. They were self-certifying the circumstances that they were facing. All of the data was self-certified.
So Delia says companies that are very well capitalized, like Green Mountain Power, as we mentioned, were completely within their rights to apply.
And I think as we saw, the scrutiny over time became unbearable, if you will, for some of those companies who decided to return the funds. But, you know, when you look at the first rollout of the rules, they weren't doing anything that was in violation of the program. That's the way it was initially set up.
But so, John, in Vermont, does it look like this money went to most of the companies that really needed it?
Well, not all. No, Delia says it didn't really help the restaurant sector, for example, which, as we know, really, really suffers, has suffered during the pandemic. He says that's because these businesses couldn't say with certainty when they could rehire people as the program required.
And that was a key component of the PPP program when it first started. You had an 8-week period, and then you had a June 30th deadline for bringing employees back, so a lot of uncertainty.
But for many companies, this really did make a difference. And I'll give you the example of Sun Common. It's a 9-year-old solar company. It's based in Waterbury, installs residential solar systems in Vermont and the Hudson Valley area of New York. SunCommon had 180 employees, most of whom were furloughed when the pandemic hit. They were ordered to shut down. It's a construction company. They couldn't really work.
Yeah.
And co-president and founder Dwayne Peterson told me they got a $2.6 million PPP loan. He said it was a lifeline when they really needed it.
That outside capital is what allowed us to restart and bring back the bulk of our employees and get back to business in this strange new world.
And Peterson said some common didn't actually get any money in the first round before it ran out. He says it was a huge scramble to get it in, get the application in for the second round, and they still had to lay off 28 people, 22 in Vermont. And they were primarily in their marketing department. And that's because they do community organizing as a marketing tactic, and it includes public events like energy fairs and film festivals, that which just aren't allowed.
Right. So since SunCommon didn't bring everyone back, will they have to pay back that $2.6 million PPP loan that they got?
That's still to be determined, but Peterson hopes that the loan will be forgiven since they are able to hire back all but 16% of their pre-COVID workforce, and that will probably be within those guidelines.
That's VPR's John Dillon. Thanks for giving us some insight into the PPP program in Vermont.
Thanks, Henry.
So our executive producer, Mark Davis, is off this week, and we're not really sure what he's doing with all the free time he has on his hands without this podcast to deal with, but it is entirely possible that he's been fending off bears from his backyard.
It's true. The Fish and Wildlife Department says they've been getting a lot more calls about bears lately looking for food near people's homes. The department estimates they got 5 times the number of bear-related calls this past June than they did in June 2019. So, Mark, if you're listening, bring in your bird feeder and keep an eye on your compost and trash.
You know, Mark lived in New Hampshire for a while, so I feel like he has like a certain grit to him that will do well in any encounters, you know, with a bear on his property.
I think Mark would emerge victorious.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. We had reporting today from John Dillon and Karen Anderson.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can email thefrequency@vpr.org, and you can find us on Twitter @thefrequencyvpr.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. Talk to you tomorrow.